Best in Class is back with JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan, focusing on young players and their impact across the National Football League. And of course, starting off with his beloved Buccaneers and what happened last week. Enjoy. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa, special hurricane edition. I am Sean Sullivan. You are in for the best 30 minutes in football. But first, let's pay some bills. If you're worried about paying too much for a new vehicle, don't worry. Drive Curry. With our summer sales event, which is now going to be a fall summer sales event, Bill Curry Ford will beat any advertised price by $100. Bring it into my staff. I would prefer you to talk to me personally because I want to talk football with you. And I will beat that price for sure. Just bring it in writing, bring it on your phone, bring me a screenshot. It's not a big deal. And if you're trying to find time to schedule your vehicle for service, don't worry. Service at Curry with no charge pickup and delivery and no charge mobile vans. We can perform service right from your house or on your employer. If you want to visit, we have over 100, that's correct, 100 loaner vehicles available. Just visit BillCurryFord.com and schedule now. All right, Bucks fans, we're going to open up with the Buccaneers and the Broncos game at Tampa Stadium. Very interesting game. We lost 26-7 against a team that looked absolutely hopeless the first 2 weeks of the season. Quarterback who hadn't thrown a touchdown pass, really hadn't completed a pass over 20 yards his first two games and was sacked multiple times, I believe. I'm going to have that stat for you later, but I believe it's six times in his first 2 weeks. And started a free agent tackle for the first time in a game. We weren't able to get a sack in the game. But I'm going to start on offense first, and then we'll get into the defensive side, and we're going to talk about some rookies, obviously, like I always do. But this was a very disappointing game for me. One, I hate Sean Payton. I think he's an absolute pile of poop as a person and as a head coach. So I hate losing to him. That makes it worse. I actually feel good about Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix is a good kid. I liked him coming out of Oregon. I hate the fact that he had a breakout game against us. You know, that didn't feel good. And if you look at his stats right now, in the game, he was 25 of 36 for 216 yards. That's only 6 yards a throw, guys. So very short passing game. And it's just really crazy when you think about it. And he had a rushing touchdown. He rushed 9 times for 47 yards. So he still doesn't have a passing touchdown. And if you think about it, and we gave up a rushing touchdown to Julian McCoughlin, which is not out of the ballpark, but we really got pushed around by an offense that hasn't done anything all year and is actually one of the worst offenses in the NFL to start the season. And we can talk about the defensive miscues and we can talk about the players that we're missing, but ultimately, you know and I know that this comes down to coaching and leadership. And we didn't have the coaching and leadership in this game. We obviously didn't come to play. We got in front of a home crowd who was very excited about a 2-0 start, and we came out and laid an egg. Now, as a Bucs fan since 1976, I can tell you that this is not odd for Bucs fans, and it's not odd for me. This game reminded me of every single game under Richard Williamson, Ray Perkins. I mean, the list goes on and on, but this is very similar to our 14-year losing streak, where we would just come out and just look helpless against an opponent that we should at least been competitive with. And we can talk about Baker Mayfield and in his game. He only passed for 163 yards. He threw a TD and an interception. He just looked completely out of sync. After that interception to Mike Evans early in the game, it just looked like he was almost scared to throw the ball back towards Mike Evans. And let me tell you something. I've rewatched this game. Mike Evans is open. So I don't know if it was Baker Mayfield hearing footsteps from that right side, but the right side of the offensive line obviously is not very good, and it really wasn't good in this game. The whole offensive line was awful, you know, giving up 8 sacks. But, it just looked like to me that when he took a couple of hits and the pass rush was coming, he was rushing the ball out. He wasn't waiting for his receivers to get open. Mike Evans talked about this after the game and said, hey, you know, I was running some great routes and I got open a little bit later and Baker was just not going to wait for that to happen. He was taking a lot of short stuff. If you notice the passes to Cade Otton underneath, and he was just taking these little short dump off. He wasn't pushing the ball down the field, wasn't trying. The interesting thing is when they talked about the safety, the two safeties that they had in the back to stop the ball from getting over their head to like, and you noticed that when the interception to Mike Evans, that there was a corner and a safety over the top for help. If that safety's there, then why are we getting so much pressure on Baker Mayfield? It sure looked like they were going to take away our long passing. They wanted us to throw underneath, keep everything in front of them. And they were still getting pressure with four. And then in the second half, they overloaded the right side of the line several times with an additional pass rusher. My point is that means that somebody's open and we were unable to find them. And that was very frustrating. But I'm going to write this off as we can talk about the fact that we weren't prepared for this game and we got outcoached. And those things were 100% accurate. But you know that Baker Mayfield is going to be the key to how the Buccaneers are going to play this year. And it's not any other player, guys. It's not a defensive player. It's him. It's Baker Mayfield. If Baker Mayfield plays well, we win. If Baker Mayfield has a tough game, we're going to lose. And that's the way the NFL is right now. At the end of the day, they had a better game plan against us. We played with no heart, no energy, no sense of urgency, not even the second half. Terrible play calling by our rookie play caller. The play calling was terrible. We did not adjust. I felt like there were many opportunities where Rashard White was wide open for a screen, and we didn't. And that, either that's Baker or Liam, I don't know, but we didn't get it to him. He had plenty of room, so it was very disturbing. The fact that we didn't get the ball to our third and fourth wide receivers, you know, it's very interesting that McMillan has just disappeared in this game. And I know that he was open on several plays. But let's walk through this. So I listened to a lot of the fans after a game, and I made some notes after this game. And it was basically about, let's talk about Bucky Irving versus Rashard White. This ongoing debate about why White was on the field and Bucky Irving was doing so much better. So as far as the snaps are concerned, Rashard White outsnaps Bucky Irving by double. And if you look at the production, and the production was Bucky Irving rushed the ball 9 times for 70 yards. That's 7.8 yards a carry with a 32-yard long. Rashard White rushed the ball 6 times for 17 yards for 2.8 yards a carry. Sean Tucker did have 1 carry for 4 yards. So Bucky Irving on the season is having a terrific season based on his limited carries. Now, so he rushed more times than Rashard White. So let's just talk about that first. Second, he played half the snaps that Rashard White played. And this goes back to pass protection. Bucky Irving is a very small man, plays with a lot of heart, a lot of passion, very physical player. I sure wouldn't want to get in a street fight with the guy. But on the NFL standards, he's small. And when Baker Mayfield is struggling to get time to throw, Rashard White has to be in the game. And if you saw, Rashard White stayed in the game and pass protected quite a bit. So this whole debate of the coaching staff doesn't understand that Bucky Irving needs more carries, I don't believe that has anything to do with this game. I think this game is all about pass protection. I think when you see Gadicke back in there and you, on that line, I think that you're going to see Bucky Irving at least equaling the snaps of Rashard White, if not surpassing him in snaps. Cody Mock's play, he had a really bad game on that right side, and they overloaded that right side a lot, obviously, because Gadicke wasn't in the game and school was. So, I mean, when you look at that, I think that Cody Mock's play has a lot to do with the fact that he was trying to help and assist his right tackle, and it cost him some plays in front of him. And I feel like when we get that line fixed on that right side, that Cody Mock's play will be back to being at least where it was in the Detroit game, which I thought was a lot better. But if you notice, after the first series, Baker was very uncomfortable in the pocket. It's like instead of looking downfield, he was looking in front of him. And, you know, and that's just not the way Baker plays. Baker has always got his eyes down the field. And he was able to run. And I felt like once he got in that uncomfortable and once he threw that interception, he just never recovered. Mike Evans was open many, many times after that one interception. It's like they got rid of the safety and started trying to stop the run. Mike Evans running wide open, and it felt like Baker just stopped looking in his direction. And the other part of this is if you're sitting on the sideline and you're watching Bo Nix just throw six-yard passes and you have zero pass rush. And when I say zero pass rush, there is no pass rush of any kind. We can talk about quarterback pressures if that's what we want to talk about. And we had two pressures the entire game, and they were by a rookie that only had 18 snaps last week. And Chris Braswell is getting obviously had a little bit more snaps in this game, but we're going to go through the rookie list and we're going to talk about it. He did have one tackle in the game. He had two quarterback hurries. So if you look at it that, like, where is the defensive line? Okay, Logan Hall had one tackle, started, played the most of the game. Greg Gaines, the other starting tackle, two tackles in the game. Anthony Nelson played most of the game, had one tackle. Joe Tryon played most of the game, had one tackle. I mean, these are just terrible numbers. Yaya Diaby, the pass rush savior, the one that I was told that the reason why we didn't go out and get a pass rusher, because I'm not going to get into a long pass rusher conversation. Everybody who's listened to my podcast knows that the NFL runs on quarterback and pass rush. And for whatever reason, Jason Light, who I believe is the best general manager in the NFL, if not the second best, or he's up in there in the top five. But I personally believe that he's an incredible general manager, has a problem with pass rushers. The last time he went out and got a pass rusher, he won a Super Bowl. And it's like we just forget. We went into the season with Yaya Diaby, who, by the way, had two tackles in this game, didn't sniff the quarterback, right? The other one was Joe Tryon's our other one. He got nowhere near the quarterback. Anthony Nelson got near the quarterback. Guess what? Couldn't take down Bo Nix, who's not, you know, he's not Lamar Jackson, and it cost us on two really important plays. Chris Braswell, our rookie that we drafted in the second round as a pass rusher, did have two quarterback hurries, as we talked about earlier. But if you look at this, it's a pathetic, pathetic defensive effort against a very mundane. You tell me a star on Denver. How about this? You email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com. Attention, Sean Sullivan. I will read it. I'm going to, and you show me, you tell me a star on the Denver Broncos. One, Cortland Sutton? That guy's not as good as Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. Please, that guy's a middle-of-the-road guy. You show me a star. They don't have one. There's nobody on the Denver Broncos that any defense is going, oh my gosh, we got to really prepare for this guy. Nobody. And we let them run up and down the field like they were the Dallas Cowboys of the 1990s. It was a terrible display. And offensively, we just couldn't get into a groove. So let's go over how the rookies played. So Grant Barton, our first-round draft pick out of Duke, has been starting. I thought this was his worst game, and it was only his worst game because I felt like he was doing a lot to try to help other linemen and instead of just doing his job, and I think that's going to change. And as you know, even Tristan Wirfs, I think Tristan Wirfs had the worst game in this game that I've ever seen him play. He gave up a sack, and he gave up several quarterback pressures, and I'm like, who is this guy? Is he hurt? The Denver Broncos don't have a fierce pass rush, guys. Tyke Smith, the safety out of Georgia, as you know, is getting a ton of playing time. He had six tackles, three solo tackles, one pass defense. I thought he played extremely well. Jalen McMillan, who was our other third-round draft pick out of Washington, how was he taken out of the game? He had one catch for 6 yards. You're going to tell me the third-best corner on Denver is better than Jalen McMillan? I don't believe it. I'm sorry, I don't. That's either bad play calling by Liam, or it's bad quarterbacking by Baker Mayfield. It doesn't make any sense to me. And, of course, Bucky Irving, we already went through. He's had a sensational start to his career, and then there was no culp in this game. So in his first 2 weeks, Nix was sacked 4 times, and he only completed 11 passes in 2 games for 212 yards. Think about that. And he had 4 interceptions on passes on more than 5 yards down the field. Absolute debacle of a quarterback until he plays the Bucs. So, again, is that Sean Payton? Is that Todd Bowles? It was an all-around terrible game for all of us. I hope for a rebound game. I think that we're going to be up to play the Eagles this week, and I feel good about that. As far as the Denver Broncos are concerned, obviously, Bo Nix was their first-round draft pick out of Oregon, the 12th pick overall. If this was his coming-out game, we're going to talk about Jordan Daniels later in this game and in this podcast, and we're going to talk about Caleb Williams and. I hope this, if this is Bo Nix's breakout and they found something, this rhythm passing game, if we had just started this game by putting him on his ass, guys, he would have not been in that rhythm where he completes 7, 8, 9 passes in a row. It's a rhythm system just like it was running in New Orleans with Drew Brees. Rhythm, 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 timing, passing. You have to get to the quarterback. This is a game where we needed pass rushers. And then afterwards, Todd Bowles said, we're missing Vita Vea, we're missing Kancey. I get the fact that we're not having internal pressure, but you shouldn't need just internal pressure to create external pressure. Sometimes you just got to beat the man in front of you, and what a poor performance that was. Let's move on. I don't want to talk any more about the Bucs because I'm sad about the loss, but I'm not surprised by it as a Bucs fan. I told you, this is what the Bucs do. They get you very excited, And then they, it's always the coach that comes out that says, oh, they read their press clippings. Enough with that, okay? Other teams win, and they win consistently, and they don't have these letdown games that are just awful, where it looks like you don't even know what you're doing. Can we not do that against Philadelphia, please? Moving on to the Giants and the Browns. The Giants won 21-15 in this game. If you didn't watch the game, which I watched every snap of every game, the Giants defensive line, by the way, they went out and got Brian Burns. They drafted Thibodeau in the first round the prior year. They have McCluster in the center. They have a defensive line. And you're going to see it Thursday night against the Dallas Cowboys. The Giants are no joke. They can get to the quarterback. They sacked the quarterback 8 times in this game. They are not joking around. They went out and got, like I said, Brian Burns, Thibodeau, McCluster. These guys are playing at a high level. The Giants' offense is just terrible. That's the reason why the Giants are 1-2 right now. But they did draft Malik Nabers. And Malik Nabers, we talked about, was the 6th overall pick out of LSU. He's been an absolute stud, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. He had 8 catches for 78 yards and 2 TDs on 12 targets. If you guys didn't see his touchdown toe tap, and you guys haven't seen how physical he is when he catches the ball on the sideline and he high points it, he is a massive star. Just like we talked about in our wide receiver breakdown, the amount of talent that came into the NFL from the 2024 draft is incredible. It's an amazing year if you follow rookies like myself, because every team has drafted some of these crazy talented kids, and they are coming in the NFL and they're making massive impacts. The other thing that's really interesting is Theo Johnson out of Penn State, which was the 4th-round draft pick of the Giants, is basically playing every snap for them. So he's doing pretty well. And Tyrone Tracy, which is the running back out of Purdue, is getting some carries in this game as well. I mean, he hasn't done anything spectacular, but I do want to point out that a 5th-round draft pick is being worked into the offense. So that was really good. But the Giants, again, trading for Brian Burns, going out and saying, listen, we're not going to re-sign Saquon Barkley, which I think was a mistake, but they went ahead and got Malik Nabers. Imagine how Daniel Jones would feel if he had Malik Nabers and Saquon Barkley on that team. It's just, I mean, I feel like they really missed a boat on this one. They should have just given the kid $12 million for 2 years, guaranteed, and been done with it, and paired him with Malik Nabers, but we'll see how that goes. But congratulations to the Giants for picking Nabers. That was a smart move. He's one of the best receivers in the NFL already. My next game is the Packers and the Titans. The Packers won this game 30-14. Malik Willis, who was drafted by the Titans out of Liberty, doesn't really have a throwing line, but he ran 6 times for 73 yards and a touchdown. His running has really made the difference for the Packers. He runs for a lot of first downs. Congratulations to Malik Willis in finding out what kind of player he is. He's not a pocket passer. He doesn't need to pass the ball 30 times a game. I really like the way that the Green Bay Packers are using him. You know, their coaching staff is one of the best coaching staffs in the NFL. What they did with Malik Willis is like, listen, if your first progression is not there, we want you to run the ball. And he's run the ball so successfully. And then when he is throwing the ball, he's throwing to a schemed open wide receiver with a lot of space. He's not trying to fit the ball into any small little spaces. He's not turning the ball over. He's throwing to wide open guys, or he's running the ball. Excellent game plan by Matt LaFleur. I mean, it's a really terrific job. There's no rookies right now that I want to talk about with either team. Patriots and Jets. The Jets won 24-3. Aaron Rodgers, you know, threw for 281 and 2 touchdowns. Brandon Allen is the running back. You know, this is that 18-year-old kid who led basically the Big 12 in rushing. He had 11 carries for 55 yards. Last week, he had 2 touchdowns, 2 passings. So Brandon Allen is doing an amazing job. I'm very proud of him, because at the combine, he didn't run very well. And he made that comment where he goes, everybody thinks they're judging me how I'm a football player in my underwear. How about you judge me with my pads on? You know, that's a really great comment from a young man. And I'm really happy for him. He seems to be an early favorite of Aaron Rodgers. So that's really interesting stuff for them. And I wish him well. You know, he was the 4th-round draft pick out of Wisconsin. Their 3rd-round draft pick, Mekhi Corley, had a catch, and he's playing a little bit of special teams. He really hasn't been much of an institution yet for them. But their number one pick, Fashanu out of Penn State, has been playing. And I feel like overall that's going to be really good for them. I think he's going to be working into a full-time job. Right now he's just filling in. As far as the New England Patriots are concerned, everybody knows they drafted Drake May in the 1st round. He was beaten out by Jacoby Brissett. I still don't understand it. Let me give you Jacoby Brissett's line in this game. 12 of 18 for 98 yards. That's 5.4 yards a pass. No touchdowns, no interceptions. Okay, he also ran for a negative yardage. So you're going to tell me that this guy who took 5 sacks for 46 yards, had a QB rating of 23.5, is a better player than Drake May? I don't get it. If I'm New England, I'm starting Drake May. He did get some mop-up duty. He was 4 of 8 for 22 yards in the game at the very end. If I'm them, why on earth would you not start your rebuilding now? You're not going to the playoffs with Jacoby Brissett right now. Your defense is playing outstanding. That is no joke. Gerard Mayo has done a terrific job. I mean, this team is competitive. I just don't understand the quarterback position. In the second round, they drafted Jalen Polk out of Washington. I think he's a very, very good player. But he doesn't have any quarterback play. He caught 2 balls for 13 yards. He had a better game last week. Layden Robinson, their 4th-round draft pick out of Texas A&M, has been starting for them and doing an excellent job. So overall, that's not bad to start the season. I hope that some of their other rookies like Javon Baker and them get into the games, because I think that would be really terrific, because I really liked him coming out. And Caden Wallace is another tackle that hasn't gotten a lot of playing time yet. But out of this game, between Braden Allen and I guess on the other side, Layden Robinson, just because he's starting and playing the snaps. I mean, those are the two rookies that really stood out. The next game we're going to take a couple minutes on, because it's the Bears and the Colts, right? So you had Anthony Richardson versus Caleb Williams. The Bears lost 21-16. Caleb Williams was 33 of completions out of 52 passes for 363 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had 2 interceptions. One interception was not his fault. The other one was a terrible rookie mistake where you throw to the outside. Tom Brady threw 2 of these in his first year with us, which probably cost Justin Watson his job, and that's when he went to the Kansas City Chiefs. But Caleb Williams is getting absolutely murdered the first 3 weeks of the season. The Bears have the worst offensive line in football, and it's not even close. Caleb needs to play better, but I'm more concerned about Caleb's mental fortitude to stay healthy. David Carr was a terrific quarterback that was drafted by the Houston Texans, and he took 78 sacks or something crazy like that his first year. And then the rest of his career, he was always dancing, and he never stopped dancing because he was so worried about being hit, even with a clean pocket. Caleb Williams, one, needs to run the ball. Okay, it's really makes me mad. And you drafted Caleb Williams as a dual quarterback. They let him rush 1 time for 8 yards. You got to remember that Caleb Williams can run the ball like Jaden Daniels. He can extend plays. And you know what stops a pass rush? Design runs. Have design runs for Caleb Williams. Get him out of the pocket. Get him running up the field. Trust me, those 4-3 defenses will start holding those edges. They're not going to stop the pass rush for a minute. And give him some time to throw to some wide receivers. But it's very frustrating when I'm watching these games, and you know how I feel about Caleb Williams. I think he's an excellent talent. I think he's one of the best players I've ever seen coming out of college that I've ever scouted. He has more talent than anybody I have ever seen from an arm standpoint, from a moving standpoint, from how he reads defenses. And listen, throwing for 363 yards and 2 touchdowns sounds impressive, but if you watch the game, it was not impressive. He's really struggling because when he hikes the ball, they're on top of him right away. It's disgusting to think that you drafted a quarterback number 1 overall. You traded up for him. You traded Justin Fields, who, by the way, is 8-0. That's 8 wins and 0 losses in his last 8 games. And you got rid of him, right? Because you're saying he wasn't a good enough quarterback. And now people are really starting to see maybe it's not Justin Fields and Caleb Williams. Maybe this is a horrible coaching staff who has an offense that doesn't fit Caleb Williams. Imagine Caleb Williams right now playing for the Washington Commanders inside that offense, because that fits Caleb a lot better than this dink and dunk wide receiver screen drag tight end screen stuff that they're throwing in to be ultra conservative in Chicago. It's crazy. Anthony Richardson on the other side, former Florida Gator. You guys all know how I feel about Anthony Richardson. I think he's a terrible quarterback. And the reason why I say that is because when I watched him, he does not read defense as well. He throws ridiculous interceptions, but people fall in love with his athleticism. He makes some plays that nobody in the NFL can make. There is no doubt. But an average, just an average throw, average play, he can't do it. It's terrible. He completed 10 of 20 for 50%, which is right on line with what he did at Florida. He's a 50% completion guy. 167 yards, 8 yards average. He threw two awful interceptions. One they could have seen, they gave the ball back to the Bears, who almost won the game because of that interception. It was awful. He doesn't take a lot of sacks. He rushed 8 times for only 24 yards in the game. But my goodness, I don't know what the Colts are going to do with that, but I know they really need to simplify things even more because he doesn't process well. He doesn't read defense as well. They just need to make him a one-read throw guy, just like they did with Malik Willis in Green Bay, and it'll be better. Let him use his athletic talent. Don't make him think a lot, and just let him throw, and just let him use his athletic ability to dominate the game. Romeo Ndunze is the wide receiver out of Washington. As you know, he was the other first-round draft pick of the Bears. 6 receptions, 112 yards, and a touchdown. This was his breakout game. It looks like Caleb Williams and Rome are gonna and Ndunze are gonna be like Marvin Harrison and Peyton Manning. That's what I'm gonna compare them to. I think they're gonna have a lot of yards together. I think they're gonna be super tight. I wish them well, but they gotta fix that offensive line. It's disgusting. Alex Pierce is a wide receiver out of Cincinnati last year that I talked about a little bit. Thought he had a lot of intangibles. He ran a terrific 40, very fast guy. He's off to a very hot start. He's already the number one wide receiver on the Colts, but he's got a 1,000-yard season going. He's stretching the field. He's catching long balls. In this game, he caught another 44-yard pass. Last week, he caught a 65-yard touchdown pass. You want to talk about a deep threat? Alex Pierce is your deep threat. Moving on, again, Caleb Williams has taken 13 sacks so far in the NFL in the first 3 weeks. At that pace, there'll be nothing left of Caleb Williams at the end of the season. There'll be nothing left. He'll be a shell of himself. Going up to the next game, Vikings and Texans. Vikings won 34-7. This is one where the Vikings defense was just unbelievably good. It might be the best defense in football. They held C.J. Stroud to a very pedestrian 215 yards passing. He also threw his first interception since week 11 of last year. If you think about it, C.J. does not throw interceptions. He threw two in this game, just to give you an idea of how tough the Vikings were playing him. There's really no rookies to talk about. The offense is humming with Sam Donald. Sam Donald is the leading passer in NFL right now. Talk about two teams that, you know, both should lose their franchises, and they wouldn't have a problem if their bus crashes. The Eagles and the Saints played, by the way. The Eagles won this snooze fest 15-12. Hate both of these teams. There's no rookies I'm going to talk about with these two guys. We face the Eagles this week with Hurts coming to town, and Saquon Barkley's a new one, and that defensive line of the Eagles is insane. Not looking forward to getting them near our offensive line unless Gedeky's back at full strength. But Eagles suck, Saints suck. Moving on, Chargers-Steelers. Steelers won this game 20-10. They are a 3-0 undefeated team with Justin Fields. The Chargers had a tough game because Justin Herbert, my boy, got hurt in the game. The Chargers are obviously not the same without him. They can't move the ball without him. Joe Alt, the number one pick out of Notre Dame, the Chargers' number one overall pick, might make the Pro Bowl. That's how good of a player he's been right now for the Chargers. He has solidified their offensive line, helped them run the ball. They're the number one running offense in the league. Joe Alt is a big deal. Ladd McConkley, the second-round pick, number 34 overall, out of Georgia, has played extremely well for the Chargers. He had 3 more catches for 44 yards until Herbert went out. Again, that's why they got rid of Mike Williams in the offseason. And then Junior Colson, the third-round draft pick out of Michigan, has played extremely well. He got hurt last game, but the first 2 games of the season, he played extremely well. So I feel like the Chargers have some really great young talent, and the Steelers are a veteran team, and I'm really enjoying Justin Fields' run around and throw for 254 yards and a touchdown, running for first down, zipping the ball to Austin for 65-yard touchdowns. I mean, it's really fun to see him. It looks like he's enjoying the game again. He is a tremendous talent, and I doubt that he's giving up that job anytime soon. Panthers-Raiders. Panthers won this game 36-22 after benching Bryce Young, a guy that I talked at length last year about that I was not a fan of Bryce Young. I don't know why they took him number one overall. C.J. Stroud was clearly the better quarterback, And again, it's just the Carolina is a dumpster fire, obviously from the top to the bottom. Andy Dalton, who's my age, threw for 319 yards and 5 touchdowns against the Raiders. And that's not a typo. It's just crazy when you think about it. But Brock Bowers is on the Raiders, right? He had 3 catches for 40 yards. He's pacing 1,200 yards, which would be an NFL record for a tight end. Brock Bowers is the real deal. He's a star. I talked about how good he was. If I were the Raiders, I would just throw to him every play because he's just knocking people over, running through people, killing people. It was really interesting to see Gronk get on the airway and say that Brock Bowers will be a better tight end than I was in the NFL. That is a tremendous statement coming from a first ballot Hall of Famer in Gronk saying that Brock Bowers will be better than me. Brock Bowers is a generational talent, and the Raiders were correct to draft him, but get him the damn ball. 3 catches is not enough. Dolphins, Seahawks. Seahawks, Sea Chickens, who I can't stand, won 24-3. I actually don't mind them as much without Pete Carroll. Wherever Pete Carroll is right now, I hope the hurricane hits him right in the face. But Seattle's 3-0. They beat a Dolphins team without Tua, a very inept offensive team. Obviously, you know, their backup quarterback is terrible. And their third quarterback is terrible. I mean, whose backup quarterback is really that good? But Skylar Thompson is just terrible. You have Tyreek Hill. You know what? It should be first down throw to Tyreek Hill. Second down throw to Tyreek Hill. Third down throw to, I don't know, A-Chain or Waddle. Right? What do? They throw to a bunch of no-name guys that no one – I don't even know some of these people that Skyler's throwing. Throw to Tyreek Hill and A-Chain and Waddle. Moron, right? You have the number one wide receivers in the league, fastest wide receivers in the league. Your job is very simple. Hike, throw the ball to Tyreek. That's really that simple. I mean, it's really hard to screw that up. You score 3 points. I personally believe – in my heart, that if I played at 50 years old right now for the Miami Dolphins, I could play the quarterback position better than what I watched on Sunday. I really, truly believe that in my heart. You know why? I just get the ball to the playmakers as fast as I can without getting murdered. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. Simple game plan. You can draw it in sand with a stick. Morons. Nobody I want to talk about with those two teams. Ravens and Cowboys. The Ravens won 28-25. This really wasn't much of a game. Until the fourth quarter, Dak Prescott really stormed back, they just abandoned the running game altogether and just put it on Dak's back pocket and said, okay, let's just throw the ball down the field. You know, the tight end, Jake Ferguson, which I was a huge fan of, obviously out of Minnesota, we talked about that, has become a star in the NFL, 6 catches, 95 yards. He's been one of Dak's favorite targets. He's one of the best tight ends in the league right now. And you heard it here first on Best in Class. There was nobody tracking Jake Ferguson before Best in Class. As far as that's concerned, the Ravens are a veterans team, and so is the Cowboys. There's no rookies I really want to talk about. 49ers, Rams. The Rams won this game on a last-minute field goal, 27-24. 49ers threw a weird interception in the fourth quarter. Very strange from Brock Purdy. The Gerard Verse out of Florida State, which was the 19th overall pick of the Rams, has 9 tackles and 1 sack on the year. I think he's playing pretty good. Brayton Fisk out of Florida State, which was their second round pick, pick 39, had 4 tackles in this game. And then Blake Corum has been hurt, so he's now finally maybe getting some carries. I love the Rams draft class. I feel like those guys are some difference makers. There's nobody on the 49ers I want to talk about just yet. Obviously, they have a wide receiver out of Florida that I'm very interested in seeing when he comes back from his being shot. I feel like he's going to make a huge difference. Can't stand Brandon Ayuk. Not a fan. And then going to the other side, we have the Lions and the Cardinals. So the Lions, who we defeated last week as a Bucs fan, won 20-13. The Cardinals' offense has looked amazing. The Lions slowed them down a little bit, which was really interesting. The Lions had their number 24 overall pick, cornerback Terrion Arnold out of Alabama. He's been starting for the Lions. He's been playing extremely well. I'm very proud of him. I knew he was going to be a starting corner in the NFL right away. He was my number one guy. Marvin Harrison Jr., everybody knows about, which was the first pick of the Cardinals, number 4 overall. 5 catches, 60 yards, and a TD. Last week, he broke the rookie record for single game. With 2 TDs, and I think he had 150 yards or something like that in the first quarter. Marvin Harrison's the real deal. This offense fits him perfect with Kyle Murray. He gets open, so congratulations on the Cardinals. They got some stars there. Darius Robinson, they're pick number 27 out of Missouri as a pass rusher. He's just getting into it. I really like him because he can play inside, outside. Max Melton, which was the Cardinals' second-round pick, 43 overall, had two tackles in this game, playing corner a third corner, and he's playing some box safety, and he had two tackles. I really liked him. I thought he was an all-around player, and I know Todd Bowles really liked him because Todd Bowles talked about him prior to the draft, that he was just a complete player. Trey Benson out of Florida State, which was the third-round first running back, 66, taken two carries for 8 yards, really hasn't been involved much in the offense for the Cardinals. I would think what you're going to see with Trey Benson is you're going to see him just work more and more into the game plan. But they have a really terrific running game, and my thinking is you got to get Trey Benson in space, you know, because he can beat you to the end zone. I think you get him out in space, you give him some balls on some screens, and I think he'll be fine. Chiefs Falcons, the stupid Dirty Birds got downed by the Chiefs, which is why I was finally rooting, which I don't root for the Chiefs, but in this game I did, 22-17. Mahomes didn't have a very great game, but Carson Steele, their free agent out of UCLA, free agent running back, undrafted, 17 carries, 72 yards, 4.2 yards a carry. Congratulations to him. Xavier Worthy, the number one pick out of Texas in this game, 3 catches, 13 yards, not his best game. The first game of the season, he had a couple of touchdowns, so that's really pretty cool. In the second round, the BYU offensive tackle, Samatea, obviously is playing extremely well for KC. There's nobody in Atlanta that I want to talk about. We can talk about Bijan Robinson from last year, 16 carries, 31 yards, and a touchdown. Kirk Cousins, this guy that's supposed to be better than every single person, threw a touchdown and interception, threw for 230 yards. So I haven't really seen much out of Kirk Cousins. I mean, it was a winning drive, I'll give him that, but other than that, he hasn't really done much. Jaguars and Bills, not much to talk about. The Bills blew this game out early, 37-10. Jaguars are 0-3 right now, and I feel like there's going to be a change at head coach. And then of course, you locked up the quarterback for the highest contract, this Trevor Lawrence contract. My goodness, man. Jacksonville, you guys need to be drug tested because you missed on Hutchinson. I don't understand that one. And then you signed Trevor Lawrence to $200 million guaranteed, and he hadn't really done anything. I don't get it. They make a lot of ridiculous decisions. But, you know, Ray Davis is a running back that I really loved out of Kentucky. He had 7 carries, 32 yards, and a touchdown in this game. He's getting some goal line carries. James Cook is having a phenomenal season so far, but neither one of them really ran much in this game. Cook only had 11 carries because the game got out of hand so fast. Josh Allen had 4 touchdowns. I mean, he didn't even play in the fourth quarter, right? So there was just no heart at all from Jacksonville. They were just tuned out completely out of this game. And Keon Coleman for the Bills, who was their second-round draft pick out of Florida State, had a touchdown in this game, and it was a spectacular touchdown. Cole Bishop has gotten some play. We just talked about Ray Davis. Cedric Van Pran is playing for them, which was their 5th pick out of Georgia. Brian Thomas Jr. got a lot of hype out of LSU. He had 5 catches for 48 yards. He had a terrific game last week. I mean, if you're going to have a small bright spot for Jacksonville, Brian Thomas Jr. is an amazing wide receiver, and he's going to be a star player for Jacksonville. And they drafted him 23rd overall in the first round. So great job on that, Jacksonville. Other than that, you have a dumpster fire. The Commanders and the Bengals, the Washington, formerly known as the Redskins, won 38-33. What a game for Jaden Daniels. It might be the best rookie performance of all time in a single game. 21 of 23. He only missed 2 passes in the game, 254 yards, 11 yards per throw, 2 touchdowns, no picks, only had 2 sacks in the game. He rushed 12 times for 39 yards and another touchdown. So he had 3 touchdowns under his belt. He missed 2 passes. He threw several long touchdown passes, which I thought were spectacular. The Terry McLaurin was 55 yards. He had Luke McCaffrey for 30. If you guys haven't watched this game, it's worth watching. It's a fun, entertaining game. Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase had it rolling. It was a high-scoring game. It was fun to watch. This is what football is all about. This was one of my favorite games of the week. If you guys can watch the 30 for 30 on this and just watch Jaden Daniels play, this game was a coming-out game. I'm just really glad the Bucs didn't play him when he's playing this well. But I know that Cincinnati doesn't have a defense, so I don't want to get too excited, but I'm a big fan of Jaden Daniels. I know that he's going to do well in the NFL. I think Washington's super happy they finally found a quarterback, which is really great. Luke McCaffrey, obviously the brother of McCaffrey from San Francisco, who, by the way, might be out for the season from what I heard today, for those fantasy football guys. But Luke McCaffrey out of Rice, who they said was too slow to play, by the way, has led or has been second in catches and receiving yards the first 3 weeks of the season for the Washington Redskins. So it's really great for a team formerly known as Washington Redskins. So I'm really proud of that. Keeping my eye out for Zerhan Newton for the Redskins. He's been still dealing with a foot injury. Amarius Mims came in for Cincinnati in this game out of Georgia. He was their first-round pick, 18 overall. Gave up a sack right away. So really the jury's out on him. Really, Jermaine Burton's not getting a lot of love right now from Joe Burrow. So we'll see how that goes. But Eric All, their tight end, it was a fourth-round pick out of Iowa. During my tight end breakdown, we talked about this, and we talked about how good I thought Eric All was. I said, this guy can do it all. I think that should be his slogan. I said that in my podcast. He has been amazing the first three games of the season for the Cincinnati Bengals. He had four catches for 22 yards. He was getting a lot of first downs. He was their third down guy, but the guy can block. He was out in front several times on a couple of Chase Brown runs, which, by the way, Chase Brown is having an amazing season, averaging almost 8 yards a carry. So, I mean, obviously that's not going to stay, but he's done extremely well for the first three games. But I'll see you guys next week because that's going to conclude week three. So please reach out to me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com with any comments and questions. Please leave me reviews on Joe Bucks Fan or Apple Play. And please follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa and all the social media sites that you guys go to. And don't worry, Drive Curry. I'm at 44 minutes, but don't worry. Steve will come in there and slash it up. He's the best producer in the business. He'll make me sound like a professional, which I always greatly appreciate. I'll see you guys next week. Stay safe. Make sure that you stay indoors. Let this hurricane pass, and let's get on to our football weekend.